with you this morning. If you turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 7, the Lord has laid upon my heart this week of what to preach this morning. Genesis 7. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, you need to get a copy of the sermon. Harden not your hearts. We live in a very hardened economy. We go to church with a lot of hardened hearts. We become hardened about the Savior. Whether it's been saved a long time, seems that it don't mean much to some, but it still means a lot to me. Hardened to sermons. My, what preaching has been here. Passed through the walls of this tabernacle for 23 years. We're hardened with the Scripture. We are in a gospel-hardened society, but I want to tell you something. Jesus saves. Now, note your Bible, Genesis 7, verse 1, and the Lord said. It does matter what the Lord says. He said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. The Bible said, verse 4, for yet 7 days I'll cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days, 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 7, Noah went in, his sons, his wife, his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. The Bible said, verse number 15, they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, where is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood was 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. The ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Both fowl, cattle, beasts, of every creeping thing that crept upon the earth, and every man in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Verse 16, and the Lord shut him in. I want to preach on this subject this morning on don't let the door shut on you. You may be seated today. Father, we love You. Lord, we need You. And I pray now, Spirit of God, that You'd let preaching be easy. I pray that You'd deal with the hearts of sinners today. Deal with the hearts of the saved. Lord, I pray that You'd break up the fallow ground of our hardened heart. Help us in the Scripture today. Help these families that are struggling so. Lord, many needs throughout this building today. And I know You're God of each one. Help us now. We'll be grateful to You in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart Tuesday night. Showed me what to preach here this morning. I love it when God allows me to know what I need to be preaching. It's so wonderful to wake up on Saturday morning knowing something's been burning in your heart all week. But it's a scary moment to me as the preacher here this morning. And it ought to be a very fearful moment for you that are not saved by the grace of God, that God would send you a text in the midst of this old wicked world to warn you and to tell you by preaching this morning, don't let the door shut on you. Now I want to say, before this door was shut, you heard the reading of the story. Noah is a great Bible character. It is amazing what is in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. If you want a Bible study, you get in on Noah. There's so many types and foreshadows of Christ. But I want to stay within the theme of this thought this morning and say, before the flood came, there was a witness applied. In Genesis chapter number 6, now I want to remind you something. God is a God of love. Do you hear me this morning? But He's also a God of judgment and a God of wrath. And God means what He said in this Bible. Now, God destroyed this world with a flood. Matter of fact, He said He would put a bow in the cloud. It would no longer have an arrow in it, but it would be a bow, for He'd already fired that arrow of judgment. He said the next time the cloud comes, it'd be a bow in it, and it would remind me of the covenant that I have with the people. I'm glad God has got a people upon His heart. But God, as God destroyed this whole world, by man and beast and creeping things, everything that drew a breath of life in its nostrils died, except 8 people in that ark. Now, God, all of a sudden, just did not bring in a storm and annihilate the whole world. God, before time, He had a witness. And let me tell you, God has been witnessing to a generation that's soon to meet God before long. There's a payday coming for America's sin. There's a payday coming for your sin and my sin. But I'm glad the God of this Bible put His Son on a cross and He took your sin and my sin by the judgment of God and paid the price for every man. You ain't got to die and go to hell in your sin. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be gloriously saved this morning. Don't let the door shut on you. When I was a young preacher, I was coming back from Bible college. Brother Randall will remember it. The first church I pastored, God gave me a message on the claw marks of the ark. Honey, when God shut them 8 people in, and that ark became the float, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of people wish they had their doing to do over again. Honey, eternity is too long to be wrong. This morning, there was a witness. We find Him in Genesis 6 before this flood. God has always had a people of witness. We find in Genesis 6, verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Remember that. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God just put a deadline on an economy that they didn't realize. He said, My spirit shall not always dwell with man or deal with man, but in 120 years I'm going to destroy this fact. I remind you that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. He preached, there's a storm coming and you better get ready. I think about Brother Billy Graham, the crusades he had, the urgency people had of being saved. And this morning, we'll notice here that there was a witness. You'll find in verses 1 through 3, there was a great apostasy. It was a great turning upon God. said that they took wives of all that which they chose. They began to multiply on the earth. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when God created man and woman, He created man out of the dust of the ground and He breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. He brought Adam's wife Eve out of his side. Not from his feet to be under him, not from his head to be over him, but by his side. Ladies, get to the side of your man. Let him be the headship and the leadership in your home. And man, lead your family to God this morning. Now, there was a witness. There's a great apostasy happening. Then in verse 4, there was godless activity. The Bible said there were giants in the earth in those days. When the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which are of old men of renown. Many authors have many different opinions of this verse, but I can tell you one thing. There was a great wickedness that had happened, and it doesn't take you long to figure out from the garden when everything was perfect. But yet when Adam sinned, honey, it didn't take long for sin to take a society and a generation to where they live. And it don't take sin long to take a generation and a society to where we live in this day and this hour. You better hear this country preacher. Don't let the door shut on you. There was a witness. It was great apostasy. It was godless activity. Verse 5 through 7, there was a growing anarchy. The Bible said in God, watch your Bible now. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Brother Mike said it right Wednesday night. In today's economy and culture, there's organizations, there's professors saying that man will get smarter and better, but honey, man is getting worse and worse and worse. Sin is running like sin has never ran. Honey, let me tell you, there's coming a day that God's going to judge this world again, not by flood, but by fire. He said this world's going to burn like an oven. And I believe what he said. Now, watch your Bible. He said, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This word imagination is from the Greek word pottery. It simply means this, that when society gets away from God, society starts putting people in their own mold. This world's become molded with sin. Hollywood is trying to mold our young people. Young people, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with having goals and visions. And you ought to set your sights to be successful. But I'd rather be saved, written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and know that my Redeemer lives this morning, than to own every cattle on a thousand a hill, to own every bar of gold in this country. There's a mold going on, and this world is molded a generation away from God in this day. Every imagination has to do with the word pottery. Just put them in a mold. So sad what I see going on in our country. And I want to say this today. Now look what God says. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. And here's the word I'm interested in. And it grieved Him at His heart. Now listen to me. The only way that your heart can be grieved is if you love something. The only way God's heart can be grieved, we can grieve the Spirit of God. The reason we can grieve the Spirit of God, because He lives in us and He loves us. And when we do the Spirit of God wrong, it grieves Him. It makes Him sad, and it makes us sad on the inside. But I got good news for you today. Repent of your sins. Turn to Christ, and He'll wash you clean and give you a peace like you've never had in this day, in this hour.
It grieved the heart of God. It made Him sad. You know why? Because He loved people. You say, God don't love me. Well, let me ask you something. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sounds like to me that's a love me and you know not much about. God gave all He had because He loves us. And sinner, God loves you this morning. You look at this country preacher, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you and God loves everybody in this building. He sent His Son to die for everybody here this morning. It grieved the heart of God for what was going on. I wonder how the heart of God is grieved in America. We've got a man here this morning runs ministry in West Georgia that of trying to prevent abortion happening. We talk about, we hear all these liberal legislatures about take the guns, take the guns. Why don't they quit killing more babies every day than guns has ever killed? Why don't they throw the alcohol out of the country that the drunk drivers is running over families and destroying lives? I asked you this morning, I'm an older man of God, but I want to ask you something this morning. I wonder how the heart of God is grieved about America. It grieved the heart of God. It meant something to Him. It means something was going on inside of Him that He loved. There was a witness about. But not only was there great apostasy and godless activity, a growing anarchy, just higher power. Everybody's pushing and shoving. Trying to get there. Honey, let me tell you, I got some place this world knows nothing about. The August day in 1981, when the Lamb of Glory wrote my name down, I trusted Christ. I repented of my sins. I'm glad I'm going to heaven this morning. There was a witness. Number two, there was a work. This amazing thing, what this happens in Genesis chapter number 6. So God's heart is grieved. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy. I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. That had to hurt the heart of God. Everything He created, He said, I'm going to destroy it because of sin. They won't give me right away. And let me tell you, God's not going to take back seat to nobody. You that's got that goofy bumper sticker on your car says, God's my co-pilot. You ought to scrap that thing off of your car. God ain't nobody's co-pilot. If God can't drive, He ain't riding. A lot of you use God like a spare tire. I bet He's grieved at that. But you see, there was a witness. There was a work. In verse 13, you'll notice this. And the reason I use this word in Genesis 6:13, it was a formal work. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within without. I was reading yesterday, one of the scholars said, found doors had been up for 1,000 years in a tabernacle that was good as new. Gopher wood lasts a long, long time. God knows what He was doing. And then He says this, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion. He gives him the measurement. This ark, I want to say, first of all, this work before the door shut. Not only was it a witness, but it was a work. And this work was formal. God said in verse 13, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Number two, not only was it formal, I think it was pretty fanatical. God just asked Noah to do the incredible. God just gave a man measurements to build a chest. Didn't look like a boat, it looked like a chest. He just gave him such a fanatical instruction. Gave him the measurements of what to do, and it had never rained. I love people that take God at His word.
Matter of fact, not only was this work formal and fanatical, but in verse 17, I think this work was very frightful. Let me ask you something. Do you think being a pastor, a preacher, I'm talking about God called, don't you think sometime that our job is very frightful to know God sending a verse to an assembly like this, asking you to do things by faith that is fanatical and frightful? He said, let me tell you what I'm going to do, Noah. When you build this chest, when you build this ark, he said, I'm going to do something that has never been done. He said in verse 17, he said, I will bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all flesh, where is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. I bet that got his attention. I wonder, does it bother us that people's going to die in their sins if they're not saved? You see, this witness, that now this work, it was formal, it was fanatical, it was frightful, but yet it was faithful. Because the Bible said in verse number 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know what I've noticed about God's instructions? Sometimes they don't make sense. Now I know you've got God figured out. Matter of fact, nearly every older pastor I ever talked to, you know one of the choicest words they'll say to your preacher? Brother Ken, I don't know what God's doing. You know something? If you think you got God figured out, you got a big issue this morning. God asked you to do some things that don't make a lot of sense to you. But I want to say this. God knows what's going to happen when the red light turns green. And you can trust God with whatever He tells you. You can take God at His Word and put it in the bank. What He says, He means business. So did Noah all that the Lord commanded him. What a man of faith. It never rained. God said, I'm going to destroy this thing with a flood. Noah, get busy. And for 120 years, he gets, no doubt, some help. Could you imagine in the community as that ark's going up? It's one in Kentucky. Supposed to be built for scale. I want to go and see that. But could you imagine this big site and the hecklers coming by? Hey, preachers, it's no different today with hecklers in the community. Everybody's not going to love us and everybody's not going to encourage us. But one of the greatest days in my life is when I'm going to step on the other side and God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The hecklers! That preacher's crazy! A flood! Destroy everything! Oh, but honey, in a few days the laughing's going to stop. Don't let the door shut on you. Now we see there was a witness, there was a work, but I want to say there was a way. In Genesis 6 and 16, he didn't just tell him to build an ark. He told him to put a door in it. I'm glad God has made us a way to escape. He said in Genesis 6 and verse 16, he said, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, third stories, which thou shalt make it. Now I want you to think a minute. This ark was around 450 foot long. It was 75 foot wide. And it's 45 foot tall. One of the theologians said you could put 520 railroad cars inside the ark. But God put a door in it. God didn't put two doors in it. He didn't put a door in the side for Noah. He didn't put a door in the side for His children. He put one door in the side of that ark. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. He said, I am the door. I'm glad He's the doorway to glory. Thank God, honey, you can be one step away from a wrath to come. If you'll access the grace and faith of God, you too can be saved this morning.
You see, there was a work. God sent His Son. And you know, in this work, you'll notice there was the need of the door to get in. You need to get in. And the only way you can get in, it's not doing the best you can. It's not giving all your money to the poor. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments, because you can't do that. There was three arcs in this Bible. There was the Ark of the Covenant, where the law was kept, where the Philistines had stolen it and took it away. There was an ark of bulrushes that Moses was placed into. And thirdly, here's an ark for Noah. I'm glad, honey, there is an ark. The Lord Jesus Christ that keeps the law. I'm glad that He keeps us safe. And I'm glad that He saves us. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ is the ark of safety this morning. And you see, there was a way. There was a need of the door. There was the number of the door. It was only one. But it was the nature of the door. It received anybody that would go through it. You say, well, Brother Ken, I've done a lot bad. So have I. I run with a bad crowd. I did a lot of things I'm ashamed of this morning. But I sure am glad that God let me in before the door closed on me. Now, lastly this morning, I want to show you something in this Bible. Not only was there a witness, a work, a way, but there was a word. Look in Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said to Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. I'm glad God still got a word. It's an invitation. He says, come. All that want to go to heaven can go to heaven by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll have to step in the door by faith this morning. You'll have to take God exactly what He said by His Word. We are sinners lost and undone. We must repent of our sins, put our faith in Christ in order to escape the storm that's coming like this world's never seen. Now, there was a word. Come. Isn't that something? He didn't say go. But the Lord said to Noah, Genesis 7, come. You know what that tells me? The Lord was on the inside of the ark. Can I tell you? The Lord was on the inside of Christ. He's not telling Noah to go. If He said go into the ark, it meant He was on the outside. I'm glad He was on the inside. And He said, come. Can I tell you, sinner friend, Christ is on the inside. He's not telling you go in. He's saying, come in. If you greeted a guest at your door, and you walked out in the yard, and you said, now y'all go in. But if a guest come to your house, and you were standing, and you walked inside the door, and you looked at them and said, well, y'all go in. No, you'd say, well, y'all come in. I'm glad the Lord was on the inside of that ark. He's on the inside of Christ that awaits you this morning. No matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it, the blood of Jesus can wash you clean today. And so, here was a word. Come. It was an invitation. And then secondly, there was an illustration. You know what the Bible said? He said, the Lord said to Noah, come down all the house and heart, for thee have I seen a generation before me. Verse 7, and Noah went in, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him in the ark because of the waters of the flood. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if Noah would have stayed outside, he'd have drowned too. He had to get in. You got to get in. You're not going to heaven just because God's going to let you in. You got to get in. And you can only get in by the ark. The ark is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The safest place I know is to be in Christ, hid with Christ in God this morning. You see, before this storm hit and everybody drowned, there was a word. But then lastly, there was a warning. Do you think that God is a God that's going to judge the world without warning? No. God has been sending this generation a warning a long time, just like He did in the days of Noah. Well, you say, well, man of God, how is God warning us? Well, I want to say that God is warning this generation through sermons. In 2 Peter 2 and 5, you'll find something very interesting. The Bible said, and He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly. 120 years, Noah preached. I wonder how long this generation's heard preaching. I wonder how many sermons you've heard, lost person. God has sent you a warning through sermons. God has sent us a warning through signs, just like He did in the days of Noah. Signs? Oh, yes. Absolutely signs. 1 Peter 3 and 20. Watch your Bible there. 1 Peter 3 and 20. He says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. But which also He went and preached into the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing." The ark was a preparing. That was a sign. What other sign do you need that God means business? God uses sermons. He says some of the signs of the last day. We would see things waxing worse and worse. Do you think we've seen any signs yet? Children turning against parents. Things that used to be right are no longer right. Signs. Prophecies. And far as I know about this Bible, I'm not a prophecy preacher. But I tell you what I am. I'm saved by the grace of God. Know I'm called to preach. And I know this. Everything that needs to be fulfilled for the Lord to return has been fulfilled in this Bible. You know, Matthew's gospel alluded to something that I'm preaching about this morning. It was over in Matthew 24. He had something to say. He says, Matthew 24:37, and I'm about done preaching. I want Miss Emily to come. And Brother Tim, I want you to lead us in a verse of an invitation song this morning. Just as I am, be great, whatever you want, Brother Tim. I'm nearly done preaching, but I won't read this. Matthew 24 and 37. The warning. They had sermons, they had signs. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark. Knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known of what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming." I said there was a warning before the flood. There was a warning by sermons. There was a warning by signs. But lastly, there was warnings by the Spirit. He said in Genesis 6, and I read it to you, He said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man or deal with man." Somebody said, "Well, Brother Ken, how do I know that God is dealing with me to be saved?" Well, I want to ask you something. Do you want to be saved?
The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except the one that sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. A person must be dealt by the Spirit. You say, how do I know the Spirit's troubling me? Is your heart troubled? Is your heart about to... the Spirit shaking you? Warnings. Sermons. Used to be an old preacher that preached in this country for years. First time I ever heard him preach, I was a lost man. He scared me. He scared me. I've never seen a man get up and preach the gospel. I knew that man had something I didn't have. It scared me to death, but I wanted what he had because I knew he had peace. Brother Monroe Wiggins is in heaven this morning. But you're talking about a man of God that thundered by a sermon. Aren't you glad God's warned you by a sermon? Warned us by signs. He's warned us by the Spirit. My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Sinner, if God's dealing with you to be saved, you ought to thank Him that He's still dealing with you. Don't let the door shut on you. Somebody said, well, y'all not scare my young'uns. They need preaching like you need preaching. There's a head in the game. It's a hell to shun. You children that are young, you're protected by the grace of God. I don't know what age you to be, but when God starts dealing with your heart, come to Jesus. You older people, you pushed Him away and said it'll be time. Let me ask you something. When that ark floated, the laughing was over then. And God's thought enough of you to send you a sermon, to give you signs. This world's chaos. Jesus is coming. By the Spirit. Thank God for the Spirit. We've got to have the Spirit of God, church. Why don't you yield to Him this morning? Is He dealing with you to be saved? Won't you come? Bow on an old-fashioned altar. Simply by faith and call upon the Lord to save you and forgive you of your sins. Let's stand around the house. Let's sing this old song, Brother Tim. What you